Go ahead and be turning your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew this morning. The book of Matthew, we're going to be in the 9th chapter here in just a few moments. Music is such an integral part of our worship service. It sounds a little bit different listening to it through the mask, but if your heart didn't get stirred by the almighty, unchangeable God, and your heart didn't get stirred by blessed assurance, then you've been out of church way too long. It's a wonderful part of our worship service is music, and it's basically singular to us. There's no other place in society where you sing like you do in church. You might go to a restaurant and somebody sings happy birthday to someone, or you might sing take me out to the ball game when you have the seventh inning stretch, or whatever song you sing at the seventh inning stretch. I haven't been to a baseball game in a long time, but the fact is, music is integral to the church service. And I like a certain type of song. I like songs that have a progression. Like this song, one of my favorite songs historically, it goes through Christ's entire ministry. You know, one day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men. My example is he. And then it goes through his crucifixion. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. Then one day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the skies will shine for his coming. I love songs like that. They go through a progression. But there are other types of songs that the progression is not historical. It's emotional. And one of the most famous songs that does that is probably one of your favorite songs. I know it's one of mine. It's that song, It Is Well With My Soul. And we know the theme of the story behind it, how Horatio Spafford's wife and his daughters had passed away. His daughters passed away. His wife was saved alone. And then as he was journeying there, the captain woke him up and told him they were over the spot where his girls had passed away. And he wrote that famous song that's such an encouragement, but there's a distinct progression in this song that seems to be that it helps us, and we'll look at the same progression basically from the Word of God here in just a moment, but it seems to me that it'll help us through times of trial. Notice how it begins, and we'll just give you the words of the song, and I know you know them. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. In other words, whatever I'm going through, whether I've got peace in my life, whether I've got turmoil going on in my life, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. You know, Christians, sometimes, or a great deal of the time, as we're going through life and something comes up, that a bump in the road, some kind of problem that arises, and at first we start to worry until we remember we're supposed to cast our cares upon him and bury it all in prayer with thanksgiving and supplication, your request be made known unto God. But sometimes we just say, you know what, I'm going to smile through this, I'm going to get through this, because I have been taught by the Word of God that it's well with my soul. But we've all been in times when that wasn't enough. Sometimes during this whole coronavirus thing, we've been through times where that just wasn't quite enough. And you say, well, I know I'm supposed to be well with my soul. I know I'm supposed to be smiling. I know I'm supposed to be happy. I know I'm supposed to have the joy of the Lord. But this quarantine business is getting me down. Not able to come to church is getting me down. Oh, for the first couple of weeks, it was all right sitting there in your pajamas with your coffee cup in front of your computer watching pastor preach. What you didn't know is a lot of preachers were in their pajamas too as they stayed at home or stayed behind a pulpit, and they were wearing pajama pants while they were preaching. That was enjoyable. For a little while. It was enjoyable for a little while, but after a while it got a little bit old, didn't it? After a while, we kind of got stir crazy just a little bit with your weekly trip to Walmart and your weekly trip to Lowe's, which we did as well, but there wasn't much else. And so you said to yourself, you know, I know I'm supposed to be happy. I know it's supposed to be well with my soul, but that's just not enough. I know I've been taught that. Then you think, though Satan should buffet, the trials should come. Let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath exalted my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. And you say, you know what? Quarantine's not that bad because Jesus loves me. Amen. But then sometimes that wasn't enough. Family members got sick. You had family members in the hospital and you could not go and see them. And as bad as that was for you, think about the family member in the hospital. Some of you had grandchildren or grandchildren born during this time, or nieces or nephews. The only way you could see them was on Zoom or Facebook Live or anything, something like that. the desire for physical contact, to just walk into church and hug somebody, or just to be able to wrap your arms around the neck of your, some of your own family members that were intimidated and afraid of this thing. And I'm certainly not going to be the person to criticize someone who is afraid of this thing. Sometimes that just wasn't enough. Oh yes, I know, I've been taught, it is well with my soul. And I know Christ shed his own blood for my soul. Sometimes you need it a little bit more. And that's when you think of that third verse. My sin.
Amen.
Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Amen.
But sometimes, as you went through this, and maybe you lost a loved one, by way of introduction, I'll tell you quickly about probably the hardest time of this whole thing for us. We saw meetings canceled. We were in 25 states from January the 10th to March the 19th. We were in one state from March the 19th until May the 31st. We're in two. So we were just completely shut down, stuck at the house. I'm glad I had my quarantine partner. My wife was with me. But other than that, you miss other people. But then we'd gone up, we did drive up to West Virginia to preach at the Independent Missionary Baptist Church of Alum Creek. That's the name of the church.
Yeah.
That's not, there's no abbreviation for it. It's the Independent Missionary Baptist Church of Alum Creek. They raised $15,000 to buy a new van and found out it was going to cost $20,000 to put the church name on the side of it. Pastor Dent, who's the pastor there now for about 2 years almost, and I actually had the privilege of recommending him to the church, and I preached for him. But beside of us, in the car parked beside of my wife, they were having an outdoor service, but in that car next to them, my wife and my father-in-law were with us. Next to them sat Pastor Frank Chapman. Pastor Frank Chapman and his wife Kim sitting there. We've known them, 30 years at least. And Pastor Chapman was the retired pastor, or the pastor emeritus, whatever title you want to give him, there at the Independent Missionary Baptist Church of Alum Creek. We did the same thing as Brother Bill mentioned in the morning service. Remember when you had that first drive-through service, you waved at everybody. It was like you haven't seen anybody in forever. But he got out of his car, typical preacher, walking around, waving at people and all of that. We saw him that Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'll never forget the first time I met Pastor Chapman. He had called me and asked me to come preach for him. I think we'd had a little bit of fellowship, met a couple of times before that, but as far as an evangelist coming to his church, we met at the back door. We talked about how the service would go. They had the typical Independent Baptist church from the 70s layout, two rows of pews and a bowling alley aisle going down the middle. And he told me all that would happen and how the service would go and who would play for the invitation and when I would be up to preach, and gave me an order of service. And we talked for a few moments about the revival that we were starting that very day. And Frank Chapman was one of those people that was kind of ornery, if you know what I mean. Everybody else would get together with something and Frank wouldn't. He was just Frank. He was just plotting his own course, just staying true to the Word of God and separated and yet still loving. So I got up to preach. I've been sitting on this side of the platform right beside of Pastor Chapman. I'd noticed a great deal of the auditorium, but not the whole thing. And the first, as I started preaching, being as ADD as I am, I noticed that there was a piece of carpet right here, right at this spot on the step, that was disgusting. It was black. It was matted down. It looked like it was mildewed. And I kept thinking to myself as I'm preaching, why doesn't somebody fix that little piece of carpet? The whole auditorium, now it's not brand new and refurbished or anything like that, but it was certainly clean. It was certainly well taken care of. But this one piece of carpet, every time I walk past it, and of course you know how I walk, every time I'd walk past it, it would come up into my mind. That is, I would walk around it. I didn't want to step there because it looked so bad. I finished preaching. I gave the invitation. Pastor Chapman did not do what a lot of preachers do. He did not come down front and stand and wait, and he didn't stay on the platform. Pastor Chapman got out of his seat and came down and knelt right there. And as he knelt there, tears streaming down his cheeks. Throughout that week, a couple of times, I would walk into the church and find him in that one spot there praying for the revival, praying up and down the pews of his entire congregation. That was the most beautiful piece of carpet I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Preached there that Sunday morning and Sunday night back in April. Went home on Monday. On Saturday, I got a phone call that Pastor Chapman had had an aneurysm burst in his brain.
Yeah.
And had gone home to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
Couldn't be there. Couldn't tell his wife how much he meant to us. Funeral was closed, basically, except the family. You couldn't be there. No one could rush to his hospital bedside, not even his pastor. They did let his wife in. And I said, boy, I know. I've been taught it's well with my soul. And I know he shed his own blood for my soul. And I know my sins are forgiven. But I need a little bit more. And Lord, haste the day.
Yeah.
Yes, my Lord. Faith shall be sight.
Yeah.
The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trumpet shall sound. The Lord shall descend. Praise him. Even so, it is well with my soul. Listen, there's not a problem, not a disease, not a pandemic that overcomes the fact that we're going to spend eternity in heaven with our Savior. This message this morning, three times in his earthly ministry, actually in progressive order as far as the timeline is concerned, Jesus uses a phrase. He uses it. It's in your New Testament, the four Gospels, four times. One of them is a retelling of the same story by one of the Synoptic Gospels. Jesus uses this phrase, be of good cheer. In each case, you'll find that it's a progression, if you will. Something a little bit deeper. Something that should help us go through trials and tribulations. And as we go through the rest of this COVID, and it's hard to tell how long it's going to last. It's hard to tell how long this thing's going to be around. I know exactly when it's going to end. As we're going to preach tomorrow night, it's going to end when God says it's over. But as you get to Matthew chapter 9, Jesus has come into the town of Capernaum. People have gathered around to hear him speak and hopefully to see a miracle. And you know the story as the roof is going to open. Let's read the text and we'll talk more about it here in a moment. Matthew chapter 9 verse 1, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. I want to preach you a message, simple message this morning. Keep your Bibles open, though. Entitled, Be of Good Cheer. Let's have a word of prayer. The Lord and Holy Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for our time together. Thank you for the preparation of our hearts by the Sunday school lesson this morning and by the wonderful music that honored you so well. Father, none of the songs that we sang this morning put human beings in the center of worship. They all put you in the center of worship. Father, we thank you for music that doesn't have a hint of the contemporary sound, doesn't have a hint of worldliness, isn't corrupted by man's philosophy and man's theology, but Father, just straight honoring and glorifying to our almighty, unchangeable God. Father, help this message to be a blessing this morning. Help those that are at home that aren't here. Help those that are just watching, just because they just passed by this one church, not members here, certainly not associated with this church, maybe in other countries that are watching just because they can. Father, we ask that you bless. Let it be a blessing to those in the auditorium as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we focus on this, and you hear lots of messages. And, of course, the parallel passage to this is the one that tells us about the roof being opened, and they lowered him down through the roof. But these people have come to Capernaum, and they've come to see Jesus. Now, you've heard messages on Jesus healing the man sick of the palsy. You've heard messages on the man sick of the palsy. And you've heard messages on the four friends that would do anything to get their friend to Jesus, even lower him down through the roof. But I think sometimes we forget the crowd that's involved in this passage of Scripture. Jesus is a miracle worker. His fame has started to spread. These people know that Jesus is coming into town, and they've come to hear him speak and to see a miracle. I'm certain there were some families there that brought their deaf cousin or their blind nephew or their man with the withered hand that's their next door neighbor hoping to see Jesus. They waited in line, probably waited outside to find out where Jesus is going to be, because remember, they could not get to Jesus for the press. They're all the way around where Jesus is speaking. Whether he's on an elevated platform or not, people are gathered all around him pressing to try to get close enough to him so that once he finishes teaching, he'll just reach down and touch them and they'll go home made whole. While they're all standing there, some of them, I'm not using this as a political statement, but we know people camped out when the president went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Some were there 3 or 4 days camping out. That was a president. This is the Son of God that's come. That's a president that's going to give a speech. This is a man that's going to perform miracles. People have been waiting. Can you imagine standing there and you've been waiting and you're hoping in just a moment Jesus is going to just look down and touch your son or touch your daughter and heal them, and you're right in the front row and you've been waiting for hours, and then all of a sudden there's a hole in the roof. You lean over to the person next to you and pull your mask down and say, I didn't see a hole in the roof when I got here. And he says, I didn't either. Then there's another tile gone and another tile gone. And then all of a sudden, down through that hole in the roof comes a stretcher. Now realize this, if they couldn't get to Jesus because of the press, and now there's a stretcher coming down from the sky, you know what he's really doing? Let's just call it what it is. He's cutting in line. If you're standing there and you've been there for hours waiting for Jesus to do some miracle, and all of a sudden somebody on a stretcher, listen, I might be soft-hearted. Yes, the poor guy's on a stretcher, but I got here first. That would have been my thought. And as he's coming down, he can't even do that human nature thing that we like to do. You ever walk, when you walk in late to church or something like that, or if you've ever been, I'll use a really secular example. You ever been at an amusement park and you've been waiting in line for a certain roller coaster or something like that? And I know some might think amusement parks are sinful, but roller coasters are awesome. But you've been waiting in line, you're sweating and all of that kind of stuff, and all of a sudden here comes somebody with one of those little bracelets on that means they paid more money than you did, and they're going to walk right in front of you. But those people that are walking right in front of you, every now and then you'll get some of them who just act like they own the world. But most of them feel uncomfortable that they're cutting in front of 1,000 other people. And so they do this, they go, this man can't even do that. He's sick of the palsy, laying on a stretcher. Nobody can see him. Down he comes. People, imagine this. People in the front are pushing back so that there's room for this stretcher to come down to the ground. This man is completely uncomfortable. And Jesus looks at him. Now he's there. Remember this. He's there because his friends want him to be healed. But Jesus doesn't heal him. Jesus looks at him and says, son, be of good cheer. What a phrase. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, can I just say this for just a moment? Think about the time that we're talking about. That wasn't what this man wanted to hear. That wasn't what his friends wanted to hear. Sins being forgiven. They could go to a priest who could make a sacrifice. They're just one lamb from having their sins covered up, aren't they? But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus isn't saying, son, your sins are forgiven until the next time a lamb needs to be offered. He said, I just forgave all of them for you. Now, the man doesn't understand that. There's no way he would grasp that theology. And he's laying there, and maybe even at that moment in time, a little disappointed. Any priest could offer sacrifice to forgive his sins. He wanted to be healed. Then they begin to gripe, the scribes, as they often did, talking about Jesus blaspheming. It is so comical that they accuse the Son of God of blaspheming. And Jesus said, okay, whether it's easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say take up that bed and walk, you decide, take up that bed and walk. And out he walks. But what a moment there. Think about that statement. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Notice number one, we should be of good cheer because we've been washed. We've been washed. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Can I say this? If your faith doesn't help you go through the coronavirus and all of its far-reaching ramifications any more than a lost person does, then you just don't have much faith. We should be able to go through this with more cheer than anybody else. When you're walking through Walmart and everybody's walking around like a zombie, have you noticed that? Everybody, nobody wants to talk to anybody. They're just pushing their own little cart, and you wait for someone to get out of the way because you don't want to walk beside of them because that would be way too close. And in North Carolina, I don't know if you do it here, North Carolina, you can only go one way in a row. And so people will come up to you and say, you know, you're going the wrong way. I'm like, yeah, but I just needed this right here. It's right here. But the fact is, you walk through Walmart and it feels so funny. It feels so odd. Used to be people would talk to people. You'd wave at people. If I walk through a Walmart anytime in King, North Carolina, and somebody is wearing something that says West Virginia on it, we just became friends. We're going to have a conversation. We're going to say, let's go Mountaineers and enjoy it just for a few minutes, but not now. Can't even tell if someone's smiling at you sometimes. You can see it in their eyes, but we say, this is terrible. But wait a minute. Why am I so down in the dumps? Why am I so worried about quarantine? Why am I complaining so much about this? I've been washed. There are a lot of people sitting at home. They have no hope at all. They don't have Christ in you, the hope of glory. They have nothing at all except what they see on their television screen. Their only hope is in Fauci, and their only hope is in Burks, and their only hope is in the WHO and the CDC. My hope is in the Lord. The fact of the matter is, I've been washed. Isaiah 1 and verse 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Isaiah 38 and verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love for my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sin behind thy back. Psalm 103 and verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Isaiah 43, 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions and will not remember thy sin. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. But I will have mercy in their unrighteousness, and their sin and iniquity will I remember no more. Romans 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I love that conversation that Paul has when he asks a bunch of rhetorical questions and then answers them before you get a chance to answer them. When he says this, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And as you're putting your hand to your chin to try to come up with who it is, he answers, it's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the Father, also making intercession for us. The fact is, Christian, we don't sit here wallowing in our sin, wallowing in our unforgiveness, if you will. Our sins have been forgiven. And sometimes when you're locked in the house and you've binge watched all your favorite shows, and there's nothing else to do, and you're sitting there getting ready to gripe and getting ready to complain, getting ready to log on to Facebook and tell the world how miserable you are, remember this, thy sins be forgiven thee. Be of good cheer because you've been washed. Turn over to Matthew chapter 14 real quick. Matthew chapter 14. Jesus has just performed what is, one of his most famous miracles, maybe even the most famous. He's fed 5,000 men, plus women and children, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We could debate which is the most famous miracle, but that's certainly one of the top 4 or 5, if you will. He tells the disciples, you guys go across the Jordan. I'll send everybody home. And then Jesus goes to pray. And you know what happens as the disciples get out. And by the way, there's a huge time lapse in this passage of Scripture that I think sometimes we just kind of skip over. The disciples have taken a long time to get to the middle of the Sea of Galilee. This storm has been going on, it seems, for a little while. And remember, as they're crying out, they look around and they realize something. This is the fourth watch of the night. The wind's contrary. The waves are huge. The storm is bad. And Jesus isn't here. You know, if he were laying there asleep in the bottom of the boat, they just awakened him and said, hey, can you imagine that question, though? Excuse me for getting sidetracked. I did tell you I have ADD. But excuse me for getting sidetracked. Can you imagine asking the Son of God, Master, carest thou not that we perish? These guys still weren't getting it. And he just woke up and said, peace be still. The winds and the waves obeyed him. See, if they're in the middle of the fourth watch of the night and the waves are crashing against the boat and the storm is terrible and Jesus is there, well, that's not a big deal at all. All he has to do is say, peace be still. But he's not there. Notice what the Bible says, please. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent, now remember, this is about 10,000 plus people that he's sending away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a high mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, remember, he sent the people away. That took a lot of time. They were already on their way. He went up into a high mountain apart to pray and has prayed there until evening. They're still on their way across the Sea of Galilee. And now the fourth watch of the night, the darkest part of the night, they're still in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. They have not made much progress. This is a pretty terrible storm that they're in. The fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out. Can you imagine that? As bad as it is, that you're out in the middle of the sea, the winds and the waves against you, and the darkness, and Jesus isn't there, and now you're haunted? Saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer.
Yes, Lord.
It is I. Be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the sea, I love how the Bible includes this. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. The only person in the history of the world that knows what water feels like on the bottoms of both of his feet. He said, "Come." And when Peter was come out of the water, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore then didst thou doubt?" When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Aren't you glad Peter didn't pray like most Christians pray when they're called on to pray? He would have said, "O thou great God of heaven and earth, thou who threw the worlds into existence and tossed the stars into blah, 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 blah." What did he say? "Lord, save me."
Yeah.
Sometimes, Christian, the shortest prayers are the most powerful. Here they are walking. Here they are in the middle of the sea, and they hear this voice, the voice of many waters. Jesus is not whispering here. The wind's contrary. It's loud out there in the middle of the night, and they hear those words. They can just make out someone, and by the way, make out someone walking. And by the way, no one would have assumed. There's not a prophecy in the Old Testament that said that when the Messiah would come, he would walk on water. And they say, Peter says, "Is it you?" He said, "It is I. Be not afraid." Don't just be of good cheer because you've been washed. Sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes you need to be of good cheer because of who you're with. I know sometimes it looked like we were all alone in all of this, didn't it? That was, to me, one of the hardest things. I'm a political individual, I guess is the case. You know, politicians shake hands and all that kind of stuff. I shake a couple hundred thousand hands a year. I'm missing this. I'm missing just walking in and fellowshipping and all that kind of stuff. And every now and then some people will sin. I don't reach out my hand first right now. It's if somebody reaches out their hand, though, I'm going to grab it. I'm just, that's the way I am. If you don't want me to shake your hand, don't stick it out because it'll happen. But the fact is, sometimes we're just all alone. Oh, yes, I'm all alone. Yes, I know I can't see family. I know I can't see friends. I know I can't go to my job. I don't know what I'm going to do financially. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know if my business is going to make it through all of this. Yeah, I know I'm washed. I know I'm saved. But I was saved when I had a business. I was saved when I had money in the bank. I was saved when I wasn't quarantined. Sometimes that's not enough. And the Savior whispers, "Yes, I. Be not afraid. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Hebrews chapter 13 tells us. I love how you can go through the Word of God and find that promise time and time and time and time again as God utters it to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. "Certainly I will be with thee." Later he says, "Certainly I'll be with thee and teach thee what thou shalt say." I believe that's verse 19. We see him say, the Lord say it to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee." We see David repeating it to Solomon, "The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." We see him saying it to the disciples, "Lo, I'm with you always, even into the world." But even every single time that you felt you were all alone through this virus, you were never alone. You look around at friends and you read their Facebook posts and all that social media and they're so miserable. And you can say, "Yeah, I'm home all by myself just like they are." But Jesus is with me. If your faith isn't strong enough to go through this better than a lost person, then you don't have the right kind of faith, Christian. Are you saying, Brother Harper, I shouldn't be afraid of this at all? No, I've already said that. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to be the person that says something of that nature. There are people that are in risk categories. I was telling Pastor, I think my last meeting was in March in Jacksonville. The church ran about 30, and the governor of Florida had limited gatherings to 50. So I probably went out to eat in a restaurant later than most people did because Florida was so late in closing things down. And Sunday night, a man came up to me. And I tell you, he didn't look a day over 65. Not a day over 65. And we talked for a few minutes, and he said, by the way, Brother Harper, this is my last service. I'm not going to be here Monday through Thursday night. And I said, well, I said, I'm sure that's fine, brother. I said, but do you mind telling me why? And he said, well, how old do you think I am? And honest to goodness, I just looked at him. I said, well, you're 65, maybe even a year or two younger than that. He said, Brother Harper, he said, I'm 85 years old. And then he said this, and I have one lung. You know what I said? Why are you here today? The simple fact is, I'm not going to tell anybody not to be afraid of this. I'm going to tell you that if you're casting all your care upon Him, if you're bathing everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting your request be made known unto God, you're going to go through this differently than the lost world's going to go through it. You're going to sit there and say, well, you might not have anybody to talk to, but I do. You might not have anybody to hold your hand, but I do. You might not have anybody to whisper in your ear that everything is going to be all right, but I do. Notice, be of good cheer because you've been washed. Be of good cheer because of who you're with. And lastly, John chapter 16. Jesus, after the Last Supper, after He has given them those incredible words, let not your heart be troubled. And now He's praying for His disciples. He's giving them basically the bad news. And everything is bad that He tells the disciples, except for the fact that He loves them and they can still be in the world because of Him. But you get to John 16, at the end of the chapter, verse 31. And Jesus asked them a question. So long they've not understood what's going on. And He says this. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? You'd think they would have believed when He walked on water. You'd think they would have believed when He cleansed 10 lepers. You'd think they would have believed when He fed those 5,000 men, plus women and children. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come. How many times have they heard Him say, mine hour is not yet come. And now here it is. And is now come. That ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Your eyes, it's the same promise we have. But then He says this, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. I've had my Bible signed by a lot of preachers over the years, and I've never known of anybody to use this as their life verse. Because we don't like that promise. We like lots of promises in the Word of God. But in the world, ye shall have tribulation. That's not my favorite promise. Is it yours? I'd just as soon that one not be in there. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. One day soon, I'll finally overcome the world. That is not what it said. Here's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There was never any question, never any doubt that He was going to die on that old rugged cross. Never any question that He was going to crush the serpent's head. Never any question He was going to raise from the dead on that third day. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so must also the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. There was never any question He would ascend to heaven. And by the way, there's never been a question that He's coming back to get us. But He says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In other words, there's nothing that you'll ever face that can conquer you because I've conquered it all already. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show unto them openly, triumphing over them in it, talking about His cross. But you'll notice the spoiling of principalities and powers. The robbing and the pillaging and the plundering of all their power takes place before everything is nailed to the cross. He says, listen, I have overcome the world. Listen, Christian, we're not going through this thing hoping to be victorious. We already are victorious. We already are an undefeatable army. It doesn't matter what COVID does, Brother Harper. He said, again, are you saying it's not important? I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if the worst thing coronavirus does to anybody is that it takes a Christian's life, you still win. It's already over. We're already conquerors. We're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We're completely and totally victorious because we're so great? No. Because our Savior already conquered it all. We should be of good cheer because we've been washed. We should be of good cheer because of who we're with. But sometimes that's just not quite enough, is it? So we have to say, hey, yep, I'm supposed to have tribulation. Jesus promised me tribulation in this world. He also promised me I could be of good cheer because He's already overcome it. There's nothing that you will face that your Savior cannot conquer. Nothing that you will face over the which you cannot be victorious. Brother Harper, what? Sometimes temptations are great. No, not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able. The simple fact of the matter is, Christian, we're going to win. What a great opportunity to be a witness for Christ. When you walk through Walmart kicking your heels up with a smile so big they can see it through your mask or at least see it on your eyes, and they're wondering what is wrong with you, you can tell them, I'm one of those crazy Christians because I've been washed and I know who I'm with and I know I'm going to win, and so I'm going to go through this virus with a smile on my face that other people don't understand. They might think I'm crazy, but eventually they're going to want what I have. The simple fact is, Christian, Jesus knew we would go through times in our lives when we needed to hear His words, be of good cheer. And some of us, 2020, this has not been a good year, has it? When you look around, who would have thought if someone had told us last Jubilee that this would be going on, all the things that are going on in our country and in our world today, if they'd have told us this last year that you'd all be sitting there in masks and we'd all be social distancing from each other and we'd be having outside services and online services and we'd be ordered not to go to church for a month or more, we would have looked at them and laughed and said, that'll never happen. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We're always going to be victorious. If you're sitting at home and you're watching this and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, these people sitting here in this auditorium have a joy that you do not have. They have a peace that you do not have. As Dr. Beale said, worry always has to leave the room when Thanksgiving shows up. The simple fact is, we have something that the world doesn't have. But if you'd like to know Christ as your personal Savior, right there in your living room, or right there driving down the road, or right there at your kitchen table, you can trust Christ right now and have your sins taken away, just like that man sick of the palsy. And Christians, it's time we walked out of here with a smile on our face that the world doesn't understand. Oh, Brother Harper, are you trying to say this is all gone now because of a couple of Jubilee messages? No, it's not going to be gone for a while. But the fact that it stole our joy, that's what needs to be gone. Be of good cheer. You've been washed because of who you're with and because we're going to win every single time. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight.
Yes, Lord.
Clouds be rolled back as a scroll. Trumpet shall sound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. I can be of good cheer when no one else can. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.